Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's May 11th, 1997, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Aria, Rebecca, and Ollie, the Retrospectors.
When Garry Kasparov beat IBM's chess computer Deep Thought in 1989, he rather haughtily told the programmers that if they wanted to make the machine better, they should simply teach it to resign earlier. So it was especially humiliating for him on this day when he was soundly beaten by IBM's new improved computer Deep Blue in a loss that the papers at the time called a depressing day for humankind in general.
And he resigned. Which, I know that that's a thing that happens in chess tournaments. But at the same time, I mean, I'm not a chess player really. But, you know, we've all had those games of Monopoly, haven't we, where your opponent has Mayfair and Park Lane and you've just got Vine Street, but you play on, don't you? See it through out of good etiquette. It just feels like in this gentleman's game, you shouldn't just walk away. You should have to see it through. I can't believe Kasparov just walked off.
And it was a bit curious because people were saying it wasn't a position from which he couldn't have come back. So it was a bit of a weird resignation, but he certainly wasn't being accused of throwing the game or anything like that. He was beaten fair and square.
Yeah, it seemed like he was really thrown off psychologically because he'd won the first match. It was six matches and he'd won the first one. Then he lost the second one and then he drew 3, 4, and 5. And obviously, then it all ended at 6. And what had happened during the second game was that Deep Blue had pulled out this random move and Kasparov was sitting there thinking, that's not, you know, I can't see why they'd have done that at all. Where's this going? It must be something that I haven't even considered, and was really getting into his own head. But apparently what had actually happened is that there was a bug in the code that would have put it into this endless loop. And so the built-in solution for that was for the computer to generate a random move, which is what it
Play
did.
Play random move.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
But anyway, what would be the big indignity of losing to this computer? I mean, I know he's the greatest chess player of all time, but just in terms of the amount of grandmasters that IBM had been consulting to create their software, and the amount of engineers and computer scientists involved in building it, and the pressure that Kasparov would have been feeling, whereas, of course, a computer can't feel emotion. When you take all that together, just rationally, you know, what's the indignity in losing to a machine that can calculate 200 billion positions in 3 minutes?
Well, I think part of the indignity and the sort of humiliation was that Kasparov, prior to the match, had been saying that he alone would halt the advance of computers by, like, his creativity and his intuition. And the chess community really believed him, thinking that humans would always be beating computers that, after all, only had this sort of sheer calculating power. Again, yes, spiced up by the chess knowledge of all of these grand masters, but the idea was that this was a game that was based on creativity, and a very human kind of creativity. That was the hypothesis that people had built into their thinking. And so he was regarded as having this huge built-in advantage, despite the fact that, yes, computers can do all of that raw calculating power. But one of the things about what humans can do that machines can't is that they can instantly recognize that 99.9% of the potential moves that you can make are nonsense. For example, you can move your king into an exposed position that then gets you into heaps of trouble, or do the kind of thing that at random, you know, as Rebecca was saying, that undid Kasparov in the end. So there was this idea that humans just shouldn't be able to be beaten by computers.
Yeah, and it attacked not only the self-perception that chess grandmasters would have had, like you say, that chess playing required this nuanced thinking that couldn't be replicated by an algorithm, but also the standing of chess in popular culture. You know, if you think about when we see chess depicted on TV or in films, it's always, oh, the villain's a great thinker. He's playing chess.
Yes.
And the idea that if humans were somehow capable of memorizing millions and millions of combinations, they could win all chess games forever without being remotely creative or intelligent or even interesting was kind of an affront to chess in popular culture.
Yes. I suppose it is just unfortunate for our notion of what a baddie looks like, that actually a baddie looks like a big sort of 1.4-ton hunk of silicon rather than, you know, someone stroking a white cat, if chess is the arbiter of what makes someone complex and wicked.
Well, the issue of who's the goodie and who's the baddie is, I think, really fascinating when it comes to Kasparov versus Deep Blue, because on the one hand, this was a match played in Manhattan between a Russian and an American corporation, so you'd think that the home side would be supporting Team America. But obviously, Kasparov has a very long history of criticizing Russia, even back then. And then you add on top of that the fact that this is a corporation, as I say, rather than individual scientists. So that's a little bit harder to get behind, isn't it? And then this pressure that this was man versus machine. And the headline on the front of Newsweek of the time was "The Brain's Last Stand." This was Kasparov not representing Russia, but the human race. And so it's fascinating to watch the press conference after Kasparov resigns. Have you seen the footage that the IBM PR people told the computer scientists to look sad? Like, even though they just had this incredible victory, they weren't allowed smile because the room gave a standing ovation to Kasparov for his valiant attempt to defeat the computer. And then the computer scientists who've programmed this incredible machine, a previous press conference, they came in to booze, but on this last one, they just came in looking really dour in case anyone should misinterpret their victory. So weird.
It's so galling because not only did it represent really great work from the computer scientists, I mean, they were led by a guy called Feng Xing Shu, who had already created two chess computers, one of which was Deep Thought that Kasparov had actually beaten in 1989. And he'd gone away to work for IBM and he created Deep Blue there and he doubled the capacity of the machine, which obviously Kasparov couldn't double his own mental capacity in the intervening time. But so not only had they done really well to create this great piece of technology, but also Kasparov acted like a big baby after he lost as well. He went public saying that the computer had basically cheated because he argued that some of the moves weren't logical, that there must have been a human grandmaster helping out behind the scenes, which there wasn't. He demanded a rematch, but IBM had already dismantled the machine.
But it's interesting the fact that it sort of came down to psychology. You know, in chess, where two humans are playing, part of the game obviously is about that, well, poker face, to use an analogy from another sport, right? You don't know what the other guy's thinking. Has he or she thought through every possible move? And of course, with the computer, you don't see any of that. But nonetheless, IBM still had the upper hand because it was their event. Like, IBM were organizing the whole thing. They were financing it. They were facilitating it. They were publicizing it. And so just the very fact, not saying they did anything, you know, that was subterfuge, but the very fact that they literally had the keys to all the rooms in the hotel where the event was happening puts Kasparov at a psychological disadvantage, doesn't it? Because he has going to play on his mind what's going on behind that door. And they knew.
Well, also, there just always was going to be a moment at which computers came to be better at chess than humans. It turns out there really is a right and a wrong way to play this game. And now grandmasters can no longer compete with the current generation of chess supercomputers. And they're even now taking these relatively dramatic steps, like giving handicaps to computers when they do mount these kinds of competitions again, making the computers play with, say, a pawn less or play the game with less time to try to level the playing field. A generation of players has grown up playing against these machines so they can emulate which are the correct moves, even if they can't totally understand them. And that's meant that we're in this situation where by the time of the Dubai competition in 2021, there had been 19 consecutive draws in a row, which meant that people were just getting these very fascinating but lack of outcome results based on the fact that computers have broken the game.
I think the average person has more understanding and more appreciation for software engineers, computer scientists, etc., than they maybe did in 1997 as well, because this was slap bang in the middle of, there was a panic around automation of jobs, panic around robots and computer technology. And do you remember, like, when everyone was scared of Japan? There was, like, in the 80s and 90s, you know, especially in the States, that there was this idea that Japan had was, you know, surging and they were going to take over everything and their technology was so superior. And it's kind of faded away now, hasn't it? Because the economy subsided a little bit now. But at the time, it was at the forefront of everyone's minds, this idea that computers were about to supersede humans.
And also, everyone's computers were really irritating. This is 1997, so this is the era of Clippy. Do you know what I mean? People had just got these computers at home with Windows 95 on. And, you know, it would be like, can you now insert disk 5 of 6 and wait 10 minutes for this thing to install? There was no internet. Everything had to be downloaded onto floppy disks after you'd been done with it. Thing would pop up saying, it looks like you're trying to win an international chess tournament. How can I help? And then offer you the wrong answer. So I think there was probably just like a feeling of crushing disappointment that our future lay in computers, rather than seeing where it might go now with the kind of thing IBM does now with cloud computing. Which actually, again, you know, you look at the criticism of the IBM machine. Oh, it's not really one computer, it's actually 20 computers because they've got 200 chips in it. I mean, I imagine the computers that are running my Facebook profile are more powerful than Deep Blue.
Well, they are, actually. And Kasparov recently said that there's more computing power in your average mobile phone today than there was in Deep Blue at the time.
Still beat you, though.
Yeah, dude.
Tomorrow.
Apparently, if they were going to go back and redo the stuff with a new actor, it was going to cost $26
million. Love the show? Support the show. Patreon.com/retrospectors. Part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.